Do I think he has shown remorse? Let me put it this way. More than one boy died that day. The young man before the parole board is not the young man who stood in the high school equipment room. He has taken responsibility for his actions. He has worked here for 5 years, paying his debt to society. He worked as a teacher, helping inmates learn to read. He's not only rehabilitated himself, he's helped rehabilitate others. Has he forgiven himself for what he did? No. Will he ever? I doubt it. Will he forget what he did? Never. Prison chaplain, Joseph Guzman. Glass played volleyball like a cartoon character. On his belly, facing the sand. Every time the ball headed Simon's way, Lance charged from the back, shouldered him aside, and took the play. At first, everybody laughed, but Simon would get up, dust himself off, and thank Lance for rescuing the point. When Rob controlled the ball, he sent it toward Glass. Once, Lance body-blocked Simon so hard he fell into the net and knocked Rana down with him. Glass rolled off Rana, scrambled to his knees, and pulled her to a sitting position. "Are you okay?"
"I'm fine, Simon."
Rob stepped up. Lance quit hogging the ball and pounding Glass into the sand. "Yeah, Lance, go prove your manhood someplace else," Rana said, flicking grit off her pert ass. Blair and Caroline agreed in low murmurs. "I've had enough of this crap. Come on, Todd. Let's find some real action." Todd looked around, unsure. "I'll be glad to give you a ride home if you want to stay," Rob offered. Todd picked up the volleyball. "Thanks, I think I'll hang around a while." I think Lance had adjusted to the drop from King to B-lister, but now his friends were turning on him. Lance spun on his heel and stomped to his car. He left, spraying sand. "What a jackass," Blair Cruz complained, brushing sand out of her hair. "Forget him," Rob said. "Let's play ball." Monday morning, Simon made his first appearance as a human being for the school population. He wore jeans, topsiders, and a striped rugby jersey. His hair shone and lay flat on his head, the front flapping over his wary eyes. Beach time had swabbed color on his previously pasty cheeks. As they wound through the tables, Rob engaged him in conversation. The rabble stared and whispered. They goggled when Coop hailed them. "Rob, Glassman, over here." Blair and Caroline waved, and Sherry gave Simon a mock swat on the arm. "Hey, Simon, recovered from that game?" Lance swaggered up. "Yeah, Glass, I'll bet you have bruises all over your fat butt. I knocked you in the sand at least 8 times. He hooked his thumbs in his belt loops. "8? Simon asked. "It feels like more than that." He clapped Lance on the shoulder. "You might have busted my butt, Lance, but you saved all those points for me." The faces in the crowd were both shocked and bewildered, even as they laughed. What was this? Simon Glass making Lance Ansley look like an ass? As Rob turned to Simon, the bell rang. "See you lunch, Glass?"
"Sure. I'll save a table."
We ambled toward our classrooms. "Nice work, Rob."
"Ain't it so," Rob said.
"Glass thinks you don't like him."
"So, maybe I don't. Is it required?"
Rob wasn't smiling now.
"Let's just say it would be advantageous."
I swallowed hard and was silent. "Hey," Rob said, "just fix your dislike onto someone that deserves it more."
"And that would be?"
"Lance." When we got to the cafeteria, Glass was pulling things from his paper bag. Rob grabbed the sack.
"What are you doing?"
Simon looked surprised and guilty. He swiped his nose.
"Don't do that," Rob said.
"What?"
wipe your nose.
Okay.
Simon reached up, about to rub his nose again, then stopped.
I guess I do that when I'm nervous.
You must be nervous all the time, Bobster said. Let's get some food. I'm hungry.
Me too, Coop said.
Ditch the McDweeb meal and come with us, Rob commanded. We pushed through the crowd and got in line. Simon, you get salad, no dressing, and milk. Coop pointed to a green substance. That's salad.
You sure? Glass asked.
Great, the young princes have a comedian with them, the cafeteria lady snarled.
What's on the menu today? Rob asked.
Soup, the worker said. What's it look like?
Don't answer that question, Simon said. You could be held criminally liable.
For what? Rob asked.
Assault with a dead weapon?
Simon sniffed at the soup.
Not bad, Glass, Rob acknowledged, looking to the cafeteria lady.
What's in it?
Ah, there's the Band-Aid I lost, she muttered, stirring the soup and peering into the pot. Here you go.
She slopped the soup into a bowl and handed it to Rob.
You get the Band-Aid for free.
Rob raised his palms in defense.
I'll just have salad, too.
We found a table. Blair, Cruz, Todd, Caroline, and Sherry joined us. People still looked at Simon with questions in their eyes, but conversations continued. In only one day, Rob had managed to get Simon tolerated, if not completely accepted. When the others left the table, Rob talked strategy.
You know, Simon, there's more we have to do.
What do you mean? Coop asked.
Here.
Bobster pushed his extra milk over to Coop.
Rob's right. Just because nobody's launching snot rockets at you doesn't make you popular.
So, how do I do that?
Simon shrugged.
Pay them? Nobody has that much money.
You know, Glass?
I think that's it, Rob said. He tapped his fingers on the tabletop in a rapid tattoo.
What's it? I asked.
Paying them?
No.
Glass is right. Nobody has that much money. But he does have a quick wit. That's our play.
Play?
Coop was bewildered.
Sure.
Young's popular because he's rich. Bobster's got chick appeal, and Coop is our gridiron hero. We need something for Simon. You heard the Wicked Witch of the Lunch Line. She thought he was a comedian.
I don't think you can pull it off.
But plan without me. I stood. I have to go see Ms. Connolly.
Didn't you change your schedule Friday? Rob asked.
I did. I'm changing it back. Rob's voice was gentle.
Because you want to, or because your dad told you to?
It's a health thing. I have to change back in order to keep my head attached to my body. After school, we met in the weight room. Coop held Simon's feet and counted sit-ups. Simon was red-faced and sweating.
10, 11, 12. Come on, Simon, you're doing great. Keep going.
How many do I have to do? Simon panted.
Until I tell you to stop. Let's go. 15, 16.
Young, can you take Simon home?
Rob leaned on the handles of the rowing machine.
I guess.
Good. I have something to do, and Coop has football practice.
Glass, why don't you have a car? Bobster asked. Your family's loaded.
I don't have my license.
We sucked air.
I told you, Rob, Bobster said. This guy is hopeless.
My parents always work late. Nobody ever taught me to drive.
So what about driver's ed?
Nobody to take me.
Bob broke the silence.
If that doesn't...
He paused, searching.
Chew the gopher! Another entry for the Book of Bob, destined to be a classic. Even Simon laughed. "Bobster," Rob said, "teach the glass man to drive."
"I don't know. You're the only one man enough for the job," Rob said.
Simon sat up and wiped his face with his shirt tail.
"I don't know either. Do you have lots of insurance, Bobster?"
He paused.
"Or a death wish?"
"I'll teach you to drive. But if we have a wreck, at least get me killed in a way that has no visible facial injuries. I want to leave a gorgeous corpse."
I took Bobster and Simon home. Bobster stretched out in the back seat, popped sunflower seeds into his mouth, and spit the hulls out the window.
"You know, Glass, you did good with Lance today, but this witty stuff is only going to take you so far. Sooner or later, you'll have to do something."
"Like?" He popped a right jab into the air.
"Punch him out."
I groaned.
"Get real, Bob.
He can't play defense all his life. Simon needs to be like the Bobster. Use his fists. Prove he's got some balls."
"Bobster's right," Simon said. Bob hadn't had a fight since fifth grade. He'd just been talking about it ever since he'd sucker-punched a mean and skinny STP. Book of Bob for trailer park trash. More correctly, squirrels in trailer parks. Useful only to clean engines.
We pulled into Bob's driveway.
"Of course I'm right. The Bobster's the man."
He slid out of the car.
"Glass, driving lesson tomorrow afternoon."
We headed toward Glass's house.
"Rob told me about your creative writing course."
"That's my ex-creative writing course." I clenched my teeth. It was like I had traded places with Simon. Rob was talking about poor, pitiful Young with this geek. "And why did he tell you about that?"
"Don't get mad. He told me because he thinks you're a terrific writer and I could help."
"Nobody's going to change my dad's mind. I'm not going to try. There's another way."
I was a little intrigued.
"Okay, I'll bite.
What can you do?"
"Computer hacking." Simon rustled around, placing his back to the car door to face me. "Every teacher has a computer in the classroom. They send in absences and final grades to the main program. The office uses that program to print report cards."
"I know all this."
"I'll hack into the main program. You'll be taking creative writing, but the report card that goes to your dad will read advanced biology. I'll build in an override so that when your creative writing teacher enters your grade, the main program picks it up as biology."
I thought a minute, wondering how this could go wrong.
"What if my dad calls?" "Everything in the office reads biology. It can only go wrong if he looks for you in the biology classroom."
"Does he come to the school often?"
"About as often as a total eclipse."
"Glass," I said, "it might work."
He leaned back into the seat. "I'll need to find the way into the program. That's not hard. After that, I enter the school files from home." The thought ghosted through my mind that Glass was more than book smart. He was devious. I wheeled onto his street.
"Does it work on absences?"
"Sure."
"Why?"
Simon asked. I turned into his driveway. Rob would love this. I could make nice to Simon and make not nice with Lance.
"Because I can think of a way for you to take the offensive with Lance."
Simon looked puzzled, and then a smile spread over his face.
"You mean we could have him trying to explain away unexcused absences until he doesn't know whether to scratch his ass or lick his lips?"
Simon squinted and rubbed his hands together. This is going to be fun.
Chapter 11. When I heard what happened, it shocked me. But when I heard who was involved, I doubted my own sanity. I know that Rob oozed animal magnetism and charm, and you might not want to trust charmers. In teaching, you meet lots of those. But young Stewart? Yes, in person he was kind of buttoned up. Repressed anger, I guess, looking at it from hindsight. Not hard to understand if you had a conversation with his father. But his English teacher showed me Young's writing. It was observant and sensitive. How could he have gotten swept up in this? I went to Huntsville once and visited. I could never go again. It broke my heart to see him there. Janice Connolly, Brazos Vale High School counselor. The next morning, I found Simon. How do we work this schedule business? First, you change your schedule back to creative writing. Connolly's gonna have a shit fit. You have to be registered in the course before I build in the override. Okay, I'll do that now. What's next? I go to the office and find the code to the main program. And you'll do that how? Simon looked amused. All it takes is someone clumsy. When? I can get the code today, but we need to wait a couple of weeks before I hack the program. Give everyone a chance to forget anything unusual. Your creative writing class isn't until next semester, right? What about Lance? That'll have to keep. Simon looked around. I'll go with you to Connolly's office and get the access code now. When Glass and I walked in, Ms. Connolly looked perplexed. What can I do for you boys? Nothing for me, Ms. Connolly. I just came along with Young. Simon was in his bumbling mode. Don't mind me. He pulled his backpack in front and tugged on the zipper. This thing always gets stuck, he said, yanking. I want to drop advanced bio and sign up for creative writing again. Connolly sighed, rolled her head back, and massaged the nape of her neck. I heard little cricking noises as she rocked her head back and forth. Young, how many times do we have to go through this? I know, Miss Connolly, but I finally talked my dad into it. I promised him I would take bio at the community college. It gives me dual credit for high school and college, doesn't it? I oozed juvenile sincerity. Yes, it does. And it's a good idea. But it doesn't count toward your class ranking. Does your father understand that? Yes, ma'am, he does. I'll make the change. She turned to her computer, gave a calculating glance, and tapped the keys. Simon worked on the recalcitrant zipper. He edged closer to the desk and yanked hard. The zipper flew open. Books cascaded out and landed on Ms. Connolly's keyboard. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Here, let me help. Simon scattered the books, then tripped and fell across the screen and Ms. Connolly. The counselor pushed back. Simon clambered up. Oh, sorry. While his body blocked her view of the screen, Simon punched a key. The screen went blank. Look what I've done. Simon grabbed his books and pointed to the screen. I lost your whole program. Ms. Connolly shook her head. Don't worry, Simon. The program saves itself when it shuts down. As she pecked the keys, Simon was at her elbow, stuffing books back into his backpack. His eyes watched her fingers, then a slow smile tugged his mouth. I'll wait outside for you, Young, before I do any more damage. He bumbled his way out. All right, we've got you signed up. She hit the print command, ripped off a schedule change, and tossed it to me. Get that signed, and you'll be in business. She smiled. I'm glad your father agreed, Young. Your English teacher says you have talent. I hurried out, grabbed Simon by the elbow, and pulled him around the corner.
That was unbelievable, Glass.
Do you think she suspected?
No way. She was just glad to get you out of her office before you destroyed the furniture.
Glass shrugged.
People wanting to get rid of me is something I'm used to.
Well, it worked to your benefit this time.
Simon slid a sideways look at me. He was cool and relaxed.
No, Young. It worked to your benefit.
My good feeling vanished.
I owe you one, I muttered.
I wanted to smash Glass's face. When Rob helped me out, it was like he was supporting me. But when Simon did, he rubbed my nose in it.
Chapter 12.
I filed a suit against the school district. If they had even the most rudimentary of security systems,